Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
So while it was a relaxing Sunday, if you are non, well, if you're a Texan fan, actually, because you could just sit and watch. Now you wait for your game tonight. What happened around the AFC South? You had the Colts winning a game. Second consecutive week, they don't punt. This time, at least, they were stopped. They got stopped on downs a couple times. Last week, they didn't punt at all. And they scored on every possession, I believe. They got the 10 straight possessions of scoring before the Broncos actually found a way to get a fourth down stop. But the Colts punter has not taken the field, other than, I guess, maybe a holder. I'm not sure he does hold. But other than that, he wouldn't be on the field. Somehow, some way, the Daniel Jones thing is working out well. So anyone who was yelling about how, what are the Colts doing? How could they not play Anthony Richardson and trust? That is mostly NFL film nerd person, because they are all about potential. They love the thought of a big, strong quarterback out there. Who cares if he can actually operate the offense? As long as he does fun stuff on the field, they like that. Daniel Jones generally isn't going to do fun stuff on the field, but kind of fun to win, and that's what they're doing, partly thanks to the Broncos screwing up when they got hit with that leverage penalty. Got the Colts closer. They knock in a field goal, so they're now 2-0. But, I don't know. I'm not listening to the podcast right now, but I imagine that some of those people are eating their words, because it's early, though. But I would imagine they had no idea that Daniel Jones could operate an offense the way he has. And that's unfortunate for the Texans, that the Colts may have a viable candidate. Not to be great, but if he can be a better version of what Gardner Minshew was when it came down to the final game of the regular season, that's not what we're looking for. We were hoping for bad quarterback play there. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Maybe we're getting bad quarterback play in Jacksonville, though, because the Trevor Lawrence experience has had its ups and downs so far with Liam Cohen, their new head coach. We had last week where Liam Cohen kind of ran down the number of opportunities Brian Thomas would have had if Trevor Lawrence had actually hit him in stride or not overthrown him. This week, we've got Brian Thomas ducking contact. If you type in his name, if you're on social media, particularly on Twitter, you type in Brian Thomas's name, you're going to see a lot of alligator arm talk, him not wanting to get hit on a fourth down as the Jags are trying to put the game away and make it a two-possession game. He comes across and maybe what was a mesh concept doesn't really sit down because it's zone, and maybe out of fear of running into one of the zone defenders, he loses concentration and drops the ball. Bengals get a stop to go down and eventually win the game. Maybe on a questionable Travis Hunter pass interference penalty. The thing you should know about what's going on in Jacksonville right now, Trevor Lawrence, when he's targeting the two biggest names you know in Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter, got passer rating under 50 with both of them. Guys like his running backs or his tight end, guys you aren't focused on unless you play fantasy football, the passer rating's over 100. So the guys getting most of the acclaim, and certainly what we thought the targets were going to be directed at, are not having a good time playing wide receiver for Trevor Lawrence. So if you missed it during that game against the Bengals, you should have seen it. But Liam Cohen is standing on the sideline after, once again, Trevor Lawrence doesn't put the ball in the chest of the receiver. He gets it away from the frame of the receiver. The receiver's surrounded by DBs, and he doesn't make the catch. He stretches his arms out, doesn't make the catch. And Liam Cohen is pounding his chest, saying, throw the ball here. Throw the ball at their chest. And he's very demonstrative with it. Trevor Lawrence waves him off, saying, whatever, man, whatever. So, of course, everyone saw it. Here is Liam Cohen after the game when asked about it.
Progress. No, it was just one throw. I was pissed. You know, it is what it is. You know, it's not, that's emotion. It's not personal ever. You know, that's just kind of me getting worked up. So he threw a dime in the back of the end zone. We don't make a play. You know, I was very pleased with his competitive nature, the way he stayed calm on the sidelines. Like, he doesn't get, you know, he's pretty even keel, which is good for me. I need that.
So after the game, Trevor Lawrence was asked about it and said, hey, that's who he is. Kind of interesting that he brings that level of intensity. It's fine. So Trevor Lawrence wasn't bothered by it. So as of now, no big issues, except if you're throwing the football Brian Thompson's way and he's ducking contact. That led to one of the interceptions. I said it previously. Look, if we all remember what Ricky Waters said when asked about, hey, Ricky, why didn't you go all out for that pass? He said, for what? For who? If I'm Brian Thomas Jr., I'm not getting concussed for Trevor Lawrence. Sorry. You're not concussing me for Trevor Lawrence. If he's going to throw me a hospital ball, nah, I'm good. Now, the one he dropped that would have converted a fourth down and gave them a shot to ice the game, that's a play you got to make. That wasn't a hospital ball. But the one that led to the pick, or at least maybe the pick around midfield or so, you know what, Trevor? I got a long career ahead of me. You aren't giving me a concussion in week two, particularly. Wait till I get paid. You know what? Maybe if I get paid, Brian Thomas will, as long as he gets over what happened yesterday, he'll get paid a lot of money at some point, maybe 2 years from now. Then maybe I'm like, you know what? I got my money. But I don't know if that was going through his mind. But for me, I'm not doing that for Trevor Lawrence. Not in week two against the Bengals. And speaking of guys getting hurt week two, Trevor Lawrence is fine. Joe Burrow is not. Joe Burrow, at a minimum, it looks like, if things go well, he's out for 3 months. 12 games Joe Burrow would miss. This would be his third significant injury where it's cost him a good part of the season. He doesn't get the tag injury prone because there's a quarterback in the same draft class who's dealt with concussions who takes that mantle. It is not something people kind of bake into the Bengals. Generally, it's not like, well, if Joe Burrow's healthy, that's generally not a topic of conversation. I think that changes now. We're talking 3 years out of six where Joe Burrow's going to miss a lot of time. Now, Jake Browning found a way after throwing three picks to win against the Jags. But I don't know if Joe Burrow avoids the injury prone slander going forward. He will get a bit of a buffer because a lot of people are blaming the Bengals offensive line, which hasn't really been good since he's been there. But when your quarterback's making the type of money he's making and you've paid those two receivers, he's paid to be available. And at this point in Joe Burrow's career, half the time he's available. The other half, he's missing time with big injuries that can short-circuit a Bengals season. So that has happened again. Surgery on the toe, and I'm not the first to say it, but somebody's got to get a new name for turf toe. Because if turf toe can knock you out for 3 months and require surgery, when it's at its worst, you got to change the name. He tore ligaments in his toe. That's not turf toe. That doesn't deserve the name turf toe. It's funny to say it and to make reference to a guy not being able to get over it. It's just your toe and the turf hurt it, but it's an inappropriate name for what is actually going on, particularly when you tear ligaments. So goodbye to Joe Burrow. Look, I don't know if it's those Jordans he's wearing on the field. I don't know the protection standard that the Jordan 1s have as far as football cleats. But whatever it is, that man can't avoid an injury. Some of it you can't control. Someone dives into your leg on a sack in your rookie year, you tear your ACL. What are you going to do about that? You had the wrist thing a couple years ago, and now you got the toe. So the Bengals are 2-0, but it feels like there's a spot open in the AFC. And then there are the Chiefs, who are 0-2. Something the Texans want to try to avoid tonight. Because they're the Chiefs, you can just assume that they're going to recover and find a way to make the playoffs. But no matter what happens tonight in the other Monday night game, the Raiders or the Chargers are going to be a game up or two games up on them. Because they're the Raiders and the Chargers, I can understand the belief that the Chiefs can hawk one of them down to win the division because they are the Chiefs. We just believe. But it's rough. It's rough watching them play. Now, they played the Eagles probably the best team in the NFC alongside the Packers. But losing that first game to the Chargers, a team they dominate, that was the one that's probably a bigger eye opener. I didn't think they'd beat the Eagles no matter where that game was played. But losing to the Chargers in Brazil and allowing Justin Herbert to do what he did to you in week one, some real questions. And I talked to AJ about this during the break. I ain't hearing a lot of, oh, the refs bailed the Chiefs out this year. That stuff has stopped, right? Because they're losing football games now, so we don't need to talk about the refs anymore. Odd how that happens. Patrick Mahomes did get away with one in week one where people were pretty upset with him when he looked like he was going to run out of bounds and then he ran over the DB because the DB held up. People still will have their slander for the Chiefs in that way. But all of a sudden, no one hyper-focused on referees' calls, particularly when you had the push or the tush push, and that's not a legal play. We watch that. How often? Well, you would know, AJ, you're a Cowboy fan. You see it all the time. But the fact that the Eagles have two guards moving early,
right,
before the snap, you even maybe have the center hovering over the football, yes, as opposed to behind it. Just the angle kind of determines, depending on how you're looking at it. But from the top view, the ball is obscured completely. It feels like he's offsides himself. That's not a legal play. Like, even look, the Chiefs' helmets are in the neutral zone. It's like the refs are like, you know what? We're not going to ref this play anymore. You know what? If they're not going to take it out of the game, we're not going to over-officiate it. So let's just see how it goes. Dean Blandino, the Fox guy, the guy they go to for reviews on rules and whether a guy was in or out or touchdowns, he's like, you know what? I'm tired of this. I don't want to talk about the tush push anymore. It's too hard to talk about. Because there's a lot of gray area that the NFL has allowed for this play. I am not one who's like, ban it. Unless you're not even going to ref it right. If the guys are moving early, that's a 5-yard penalty. It goes from Jalen Hurts sneaking in for a touchdown to now the Eagles have a real decision to make. But I think the refs have just washed their hands of it. And unfortunately for Eagles opponents, it's always favoring the Eagles. That was blatant. Two guys moved early. And not a call was made. And, of course, we're stuck with it until a change is made. I mentioned the Cowboys. They won a close one. The Bengals did everything. Excuse me. The Giants did everything they could to give that game to them. And the Cowboys eventually took it. It took a while for them to figure out, hey, oh, yeah, we're playing the Giants. We probably should win this game. We probably shouldn't be 0-2 in the division. Certainly, we shouldn't allow Russell Wilson to feel like it's 2013 again. Congratulations to the Cowboys defense for absolutely nothing.
Yeah, it was a hard watch for sure. But, I mean, Trayvon Diggs didn't toast it the whole game. Yeah. Donovan Wilson, too.
Yeah. Now, look at him. He was Micah Parsons' work wife in the offseason. Now, look at you.
Oh, I'm fine.
No, not you. Oh, okay. I'm talking about Trayvon. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Trayvon Diggs.
Oh, yeah. No, that's annoying. That he's another player that, low-key, I wouldn't mind him being gone.
He looked like Hannah standing next to Cal. When he gets interviewed, that's what he looked like.
It was very weird.
Why are you standing there? You got your own stuff. Go. Why? You're not practicing either. That's why you have time to hang out with Michael. Why don't you, I don't know, get in the gym. Get on a practice field and figure out how to cover someone. Because if you're not picking passes off, what's the point of you at this point?
Because he's always giving it up.
Yeah. and Bland's just got paid, right, but he's out. He didn't play. Did he play?
But he might be back in the next two weeks. So it's not like a long-term
thing. It's not a long-term thing. The Cowboys are handing out checks to people. The one they didn't hand it out to looks like he's made the Packers a real contender for at least the NFC and probably
the first 2 weeks.
Probably. Okay. Yeah, you tell me to relax. It's only 2 weeks for the Packers, but they do look pretty good, and Micah's had an impact on them so far. All right. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans on a player who's absent when we come back. Joe Mixon, not going to be available. One of the reasons why we expect the Texans to lean into Nico Collins, and why Nick Chubb is now a very important piece of what the Texans do. We'll hear from D'Amico on Joe Mixon when we come back. But first, I want to tell you about Monument Chevrolet. Simply put, it's the best place in the city when you need a Chevy. And they do more than Chevys. I mean, if you're looking for something from their pre-owned inventory, that's there for you too. But if you're looking for a new vehicle and it needs to be a Chevy, go to Monument Chevrolet. Just check out all they have to offer at monumentchevrolet.com. And maybe you're jonesing for an EV vehicle. They've got potentially a $7,500 federal tax credit when you buy an EV, but you got to hurry. The The deal ends at the end of September. So EV Blazers are in stock now at Miami Chevrolet, and you can find them off of Beltway 8 and 225 in Pasadena. So maybe the EV is what you're looking for. They got Blazers in stock for you right now, but maybe you're looking for a truck. And fortunately for you, it is truck month. And what does that mean? Chevy Silverado 1500s. They've got 2.9% APR for 72 months. So I've talked about the Silverados quite a bit in the past. Now is your opportunity to get a great vehicle, one of their best, and you got that 2.9% APR for 17 months. So take advantage of it. Don't look past these deals, because with truck month ending, you know, in 15 days or so, don't feel bad when it's October and truck month is over and all of a sudden the deal you thought you had isn't the one that's available. Go to monumentchevrolet.com, find the truck you want, find that Silverado 1500 you want, and then go on out there. The best part about them is things don't change. You see the car you want or the truck you want, you go out there to Pasadena, and the car is going to be there. That truck's going to be there. And no hidden fees, no upcharges. They got great people who will get you into the vehicle of your choice at the price that you're looking for at Monument Chevrolet. So the website is monumentchevrolet.com. And as always, remember this, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
ESPN 97.5.
Collector's Firearms. Don't let the name fool you. We have new guns, too. With 12,000 new and pre-owned guns in stock, we have the largest selection in the country. Got a dirty gun? We'll clean it free while you wait. With over 50 years of experience, our expert staff help both seasoned collectors and first-time owners. From tactical firearms to historical rifles, modern handguns to vintage classics, visit us at Westheimer and Voss or online at collectorsfirearms.com. Collector's Firearms, the best damn gun shop in the world.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
Hey, sports fans. Nick of Nick's Place here. Are you looking for a place to watch your sports, eat like a boss, and chill with your friends? Well, since 1993, Nick's Place has been that place. Yeah, I know we're kind of a dive bar, but you won't find any other place like it. We have every sports package and a menu that's to dive for. Cheap beer, craft cocktails, and 27 different bottles of wine. This is not your typical dive bar. Come check us out. Since 1993, same location, Rocky Ridge and Westheimer, it's Nick's Place.
Stand by, cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show, weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I have noticed this thing. We'll get to you, Lazy J, here. The refs are back at it. Beyond the whole, they can't ref the tush push, right? The college football refs are back at it when it comes to, hey, get off the field. I think we're given a talking to about letting players celebrate too much. This comes on the heels of them having to tell the players, hey, could you not do the whole gun celebration thing? Hey, could you cut it out? Could you stop lifting up your jersey to show you have one in the tuck? Could you stop Dylan Stewart firing off a clip into the quarterback you just sacked? The refs are back at it. They're back to that 2000 form where you get half a second if you're not with your teammates to celebrate, or they're going to usher you off. They're back at that. So I did notice that over the weekend. The celebrations, as far as college players are concerned, they're going to tighten up a little bit. So if you pick up on a sportsmanlike conduct penalty, I think they've gotten a directive to cut some of that stuff out. All right, let's get to Lazy J. I don't know what he wants to talk about, but what's up?
Hey, good morning. Yeah. So, hey, Naz.
What do you want to talk
about? You know, I'm calling you talking about, you know, Cowboys, baby. Cowboys all day. Yeah, we got torched yesterday. If Donovan Wilson wouldn't have got that last minute pick, he probably would have been on the, he probably would have been looking for a new job today because his sorry ass was getting torched all day. Diggs, I'm not really too, you know, Diggs, he's still hurt. You know, if he probably wouldn't be worth all that money, he probably wouldn't be playing. They probably would have let us set him out for maybe game three or game four, bringing him back. But I think they bringing him back too early because, you know, he is worth a lot of money. We were missing De'Ron Bland. We look for a new corner this year, so maybe if we call our boy back that Gilmore, maybe he might come back and help us out. But I want to talk about soccer, man. What you think about Mbappe, man? I think this might be his breakout year. He really looked good against that game against Real Sociedad. What do you think about that?
His breakout year when he was the best player and won a World Cup. Yeah, I know what you're saying. With Real, you'd like him to be. He hung up early, but I did want to ask him about his absence from the listener appreciation party. It was noted, particularly by someone you'd probably call a friend. La Raza was on you, talking a lot of trash about you, but you're gone, so you can't defend yourself. I'm not going to get into Mbappe's breakout year. We're early into the La Liga season. Yes, he's one of the best players in the world who sometimes has had issues with the Real team, but joining them. But I think he'll be fine. He'll be fine. And look, it's a big year for him as he's getting prepped to play in the World Cup. He has got to get back to the form that France needs him to be. Look, the last time we saw him play for France in a game most of the world cared about, there were Nations League games and World Cup qualifying games. The last time a lot of people paid attention to him, he nearly brought France all the way back and won the World Cup. So I'm not going to roll with you and say breakout. He has had big moments on the biggest stages. But, yes, for Real, he hasn't exactly been the guy they thought he would be once they got him from PSG. And if this is the year, so be it. I ain't got no worries about Mbappe being a performer. As far as the Cowboys, I don't know if there's much else to say. They are defensively deficient. That's why they are a team that's assigned to Jadeveon Clowney in the year 2025. I don't know what he's going to get. Jerry confirmed that they brought him in. He's one of the ultimate, I don't really need to practice, right? In the preseason training camp? Nah. Hey, I'm a pass rusher. You want to designate me as a pass rusher? I'll come in and play for you. And the Cowboys need all the help they can get on defense. So it can't hurt. I don't know how much he has left in the tank, but Clowney, a Cowboy, if you missed that over the weekend. So there that is. All right, let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. Joe Mixon, not around. He's on IR, so at the earliest, he can come back in two more weeks. He'll miss, of course, tonight, and then there could be two more weeks after that where he's unavailable. We can read into this or just take it for what it is. Here's D'Amico Ryans on Joe Mixon.
Yeah, we're rolling with the guys that are here. That's the main thing. We miss Joe, miss his energy and his enthusiasm and everything that he brought to our team. But we continue to press forward. Hope he's doing well.
The hope he's doing well is what caught me. Wouldn't you know? If he was around the team, wouldn't you know? What do you mean? Hope he's doing well. I don't want to compare the two, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. Hope he's doing well sounds like he has an illness and he's away from the team and they check in on him about every 2 weeks to see how he's doing. I don't know what hope he's doing well means. You should know. You're the head coach of the team. Has Joe Mixon been out of contact with the Texans for enough amount of time where D'Amico Ryans ain't even sure how he is? This is probably me certainly reading into it more than I should, but I found that interesting. He's a player on your team who could come back in about 2 weeks. I hope he's doing well. I don't know. Okay. Well, I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks because that is when he's first able to come back and get back to practice. And if we're still getting the hope he's doing well thing, then some people who suggested that, and it felt like speculation that Joe Mixon was going to be out longer than 4 weeks, they may be right on the money there. So that's your update. The head coach hopes he's doing well. He's got bigger concerns at this point. Joe Mixon can't help him tonight. While the Bucs only have really one acclaimed pass rusher, that's Hassan Reddick, Vita Vea is going to be a problem in the middle. Hey, Jarrett Patterson, welcome back to being a starter. Now move this guy around and see if you can get a running game going, which, while I don't think will be explosive, they're going to need Nick Chubb to kind of do what he did last week. Get you 4 to 5 yards. Of course, be a pass protector when he's in and you're throwing the football. You just don't want Vita Vea just to bully your interior into points where CJ is escaping to the right or the left to try to make plays. He has shown the ability to do that. It's just not a viable way to run an offense where you know play after play, down after down, the interior is a no-go. And Vita Vea can make it so against the Texans interior, which you would say is probably at best league average. And when you're starting a guy you didn't want to start in week two, it raises some concerns about what they're going to do. So can they do enough with that offensive line to keep their quarterback upright so he is not doing things to mitigate pressure like throwing early, throwing off his back foot? Because he isn't the guy we saw break his nose in New York and then continue to play. He's not Josh Allen. He's not going to make the plays that Josh Allen can make, and we all know that. He's not the guy who plays for Baltimore. Hell. I mean, I'm not saying Cam Ward's better. This is not what I'm saying. Let me clear that up. But Cam Ward made that play against the Rams where he's rolling to his right and he's got the arm strip to throw it almost all the way across his body, or excuse me, all the way across the field for a score. CJ has some of that playmaking in him. He's just not one of those guys, particularly the first two I mentioned, as far as he can win that way. He can make a play or two that way. But when it comes down to it, he's got to win because of his anticipation, his accuracy, and his IQ. And all that stuff kind of goes away when you can't secure the interior of your offensive line, where he has to do things out of structure over and over again just to get you first downs, just to put drives together. That ain't going to work. We saw it not work to obvious effect against the Rams, where they only scored 9 points. This cannot be one of those games. The Bucs' front isn't as good as the Rams. Their play caller is a crazy man as far as when it comes to blitzing. He may open up the entire bag against the Texans tonight and test all the things that were considered weaknesses before the year started and see if they've really improved that. It could be a night where Todd Bowles gets after, or at least attempts to get after C.J. Stroud in a way that the Rams didn't, because they certainly trusted their front four a bit more. So just be prepared for that. And another test for the Texans in that offensive line. And when you have a reputation of not being able to handle it, why wouldn't anyone test you to see if you can? They did better in week one. They're going to get a guy who will have all the tricks in week two. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got a couple more seconds to go before we're done. You want to join us? You can. 713-780-3776. We'll get into some college football. We'll talk about the AP Top 25 as there has been some changes there. And, I mean, I don't need to harp on Arch Manning, but the Arch Manning conversation for me is mostly about how wrong everyone was. It's less about Arch. Like, okay, he's an inexperienced quarterback who's struggling a great deal. How could everyone, or at least most people, be as wrong as they are? Probably, I'm going to guess, because his last name is Manning. If his last name was Russ, well, they might go great producer. Would they have treated him the same way if it was Arch Russ? If you don't know, that's a reference to AJ. If you haven't met him before or don't know him, his last name is Russ. I think the name has outshined the game for quite a bit now. And now anyone who had him as one of the top quarterbacks in college football, they should be catching it, because the praise was over the top. And the play has kind of been the direct of spectrums as far as positivity, as far as his play or his hype, and negativity as far as his play. They're at the complete opposite ends of how people thought things would go. And thankfully, Texas was playing who they're playing, or a real conversation about should he even be playing for the Texas Longhorns, at least as their QB1, could be had. But when you play who they played the last couple weeks, you can quiet that down. So we'll talk about college football as a whole beyond Arch when we come back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
Time to huddle up with Crawfish Cafe and Carbach Brewery for Bites and Brews, Tailgate Classics. Feast on Crawfish Cafe's game day pack, spicy wings, Cajun fries, corn, potatoes, savory sausage, and a boiled egg. Wash it down with $10 Carbach lager buckets, or grab a cold one for just $2. Big games on TV, bold flavors on your plate, and ice cold brews in your hand. Head to any Crawfish Cafe in Greater Houston. Visit crawfishcafe.com or follow on socials at Crawfish Cafe. Crawfish Cafe, where game day is legendary.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more and have missed another tax deadline, you're officially on the IRS's radar. The IRS has resumed aggressive collections. That means wage garnishments, bank levies, even seizures of your home, car, or retirement accounts. If you owe $5,000 or more and missed the deadline, you're stacking new debt on top of what you already owe. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
I owed over $50,000 and they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
Whether you've received collection letters or you're already facing liens and garnishments, call for your free consultation. There are no upfront fees. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195. 800-860-6195.
Priority Tax Relief.
When it comes to accidental injury cases in Harris County, there's one law firm that files nearly 3 times as many cases than any other firm, and that's Daspit Law Firm. Why? Because they're the best at what they do, getting their clients the compensation they deserve for injuries they've wrongfully suffered in an accident. Lance Zierlein here, and if you suffered an injury in an accident and you would like a free case review, call John Daspit now, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or visit DaspitLaw.com.
I just bought another house for cash. Sell me yours at GreenLightOffer.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
I mentioned it in the first segment. Cougs win on Friday. They handle the Buffs. You know, at the end of the second quarter, you're like, oh, how are they still in this game? Like, they go down and put a drive together to make it a close ball game going into half. And then the Cougs took control. That defense, I like. And Coach Prime, when asked about his struggling team or defense, not struggling, we're getting our butts kicked. That's what the Cougs did. Willie Fritz, man, it's nice to know you've got a competent dude. Like, not everyone has a competent coach. Sometimes you figure it out early, sometimes you figure it out late that, oh, no matter what he did in his previous stop, this guy ain't it. I think even with the offensive struggles last year, you could kind of tell that there's something here. As long as you figure out some things offensively, and you can do that pretty quickly in a transfer portal. And of course, with the guys you've been able to secure so far for the 2026 class, this guy knows what he's up to. The proof of concept happened at Tulane, and now it's happening here. And, you know, they started last year not scoring points in conference play. That's already out the window. You ain't got to worry about that. They scored plenty of points to beat the Buffaloes. Nice crowd out there, and the Cougs get a win. So that started off the college football weekend. Of course, you go to Saturday. I mentioned this as well early. I think we should be done looking at that Tiger paw and that Clemson helmet and going, oh, Clemson's going to be good. They should win this game. I think we're done with that. Whether it be the unwillingness to adapt when it comes to transfer portal, not being able to recruit a difference maker at wide receiver or running back. Look, they've had dudes, whether it be Travis Etienne, like you can run down the outside receivers. Hell, DeAndre Hopkins made another play yesterday. That was one of the guys to start. Nuke Hopkins, you had Sammy Watkins. Later you had Mike Williams, and of course T. Higgins in the pros. Justin Ross was a big timer until his neck injury changed the trajectory of his career. Hunter Renfro was an inside guy. They've had inside guys, but it's been that outside big time receiver what we've known Clemson for, and of course the transcendent quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, at least in college, and certainly Deshaun Watson in college as well. They don't have that. They have Kay Klubnik, who stupidly was voted the fourth best player in college football by ESPN at some point. I was like, what? He's not even the fourth best player on his team. Sean and I were on that to start, and that has proven to be the case. Kay Klubnik against, well, anyone this year, but particularly over his career against teams who have athletes that can match Clemson's, it's not that guy. And that proved to be the case again Saturday. So Georgia Tech, who is going to run Haynes King into early retirement, got it done again. Brent Key is now 7-1 against ranked ACC opponents. Trust me, I'm aware of the Georgia Tech effect when it comes to beating a top 25 team that they're certainly an underdog against. But if you are ranked and you're playing Georgia Tech when they're not ranked, you can almost guarantee yourself an L. And it happened in Atlanta. They had a 55-yard field goal where you would say it was a fire drill where they didn't have any timeouts. They ran a play to get it set up, and then they ran their field goal unit on. But they were calm. They were set. They had time to spare. They had time to run clock and then snap the football and win the game. So Clemson loses again. They're now 1-2. And Dabo, who predicted that Clemson would be like the first 16-0 team to win a national title, hold off, buddy. A lot of schools go through this where a guy's been there so long and is set in the way he thinks things should be. And because he's won before, there's nothing you can do to get him off it. Bobby Bowden at Florida State, they have a decade they call the lost decade, where they were continuously in the national title picture, and then they weren't. They did the whole coach in waiting thing with Jimbo. Of course, Jimbo did win a national title with Jameis Winston and others, but it happens everywhere. Frank Beamer had it. You're not going to get rid of Frank Beamer before you have to, or before you really want to, because he's Frank Beamer. Texas, how long was Mack Brown around before they made that decision? They would do it quicker than Florida State or Virginia Tech, because they're Texas. They believe they'll just hire a guy and it'll work out. And it has not worked out until Sark. So I think Clemson could be on the verge of that, where they're not terrible, but we can look at Clemson for years, and they will be helped by the lack of competence in the ACC. And they were helped last year by that, because Miami seemed on their way, and then they blew it against Syracuse late. So they will certainly get more opportunities than others in better conferences. But is Clemson, should we consider them a national title contender? If it wasn't for that paw on the helmet, we probably shouldn't, because as much as they had returning, it was the same guys who had to limp their way into the ACC title game, nearly blew that, and then got beat by Texas in a first-round game. So they go down. They're not out of the picture yet, because two losses now no longer removes you from the equation. But they do play Florida State. That's going to be their are-we-still-in-it moment. And if they can beat Florida State, then, yeah, we can pay attention to them again, but not right now. What else? The team they beat that they got beat by in week one, LSU, took five picks, took a pick six, but they beat Florida. They scored 13 offensive points, LSU did. Whether Brian Kelly wants to acknowledge it or not, which he did not want to do, he was asked about it. Do we have that over there, up on, or at least on the rundown? I don't know if I put it. I probably didn't put it on the rundown. We played it on the morning show. I don't think I saved it. I think I played it right off of the right off our rundown, AJ, so don't worry about it. But Brian Kelly did not like questions about his offense. And yeah, you're coming off a big win, but your offense has been stale. We gave credit to Clemson's defense, and okay, you're in a tough spot. Week one, they weren't great offensively against La Tech. Now, they were good on third down, which Brian Kelly wanted to mention in the post game of their game against Florida. But they still only scored in the 20s against La Tech at home. And then you saw 13 offensive points with the help of five interceptions and a pick six that got them the 20. So LSU, good win against Clemson, but that feels like it loses its luster as the weeks go on. The Florida win, what do we say? I mean, South Florida scored more offensive points than LSU did against Florida. So who's to say what that win will mean later, because Florida could very well be something like 1-5, 1-4, and all of a sudden winning in Death Valley against Florida won't mean very much considering what Florida's schedule is the rest of the way. So you had that one. Of course, A&M and Notre Dame, along with Georgia and Tennessee, the best games of the weekend. Of course, though, Georgia Tech in there too against Clemson. So yeah, it was some really good ones. I did not think that game would go that way. But as I said, did not think Texas A&M wide receivers would eat up that Notre Dame secondary the way they did. Notre Dame's got a problem. And for their fan base, it's a question of belief in their defensive coordinator. Because they had Al Golden last year, who's now the DC for the Bengals. And they played a more aggressive style. They played more man. They got into receivers. And, hell, it helped them make a national title game. And then when you come back and in your first 2 weeks you drop games. And I think the loss of Miami was a shock to the system. From what I could tell, particularly the reaction, I believe a lot of Notre Dame people thought they would go down there and bully Miami with their defensive front, not paying attention to what a Mario Cristobal team is about. And they thought they would do enough with the offensive line to get it done. They thought their defense would have their way. That didn't happen, and then you go with the week off. You play A&M. All right, Marcel Reed, not a great throw of the football, and that kind of played out. He missed some throws. He wasn't efficient, but he hit on the explosives because Notre Dame couldn't run with those guys, whether it be busted coverages or simply not being able to stick with guys in man. A&M, when Reed was accurate, kind of got whatever they wanted. When you're a backup quarterback and you drop a PAT snap, it's rough. It's a pretty good life, probably, being a football player at Notre Dame. Not for Buckner. That guy's face will never be forgotten because NBC wouldn't let his face be forgotten. They were on him throughout. You know, while Notre Dame's defense could have found a way to get off the field and win the game, every time Notre Dame's defense gave up a play, they went right to Buckner. And maybe Chris Ash, who looked like he was going to poop himself. But it was a lot of Buckner. Like, hey, you see what you did? If they don't get a stop, this is going to be on you. They said it without saying it. And I'm like, hey, you got 11 guys who are supposed to be part of a good defense. Get a stop. They couldn't get a stop. And they gave up a touchdown to a blocking tight end on like 4th and 11. And by the way, we're ignoring the fact that they gave up a kick return for a touchdown, except it got called back for holding. So it could have been 41-40 pretty quickly, and then Notre Dame would have had more time. Instead, the Aggies went down the field. So that's a big win for A&M. Mike Elko, who was a former DC at Notre Dame, got it done, man. I didn't think they'd do it because I didn't think they'd be able to score enough. And I just thought Notre Dame would find a way to not go 0-2. The fact that it happened, pretty happy about it. Screw those guys.
Ruth. You don't like Notre Dame?
I'm a Miami fan. Yeah. How could I like Notre Dame?
Of course.
I don't know many Notre Dame people, but the ones I've met outside of Joe.
Right.
clean it up, Del. Remember, Joe works here. Outside of Joe, insufferable Notre Dame people. And it even played out, as I said, in their reaction to losing to Miami. I can't believe... we would get bullied. Oh, you want to ignore the former offensive line coach's pedigree and how he builds his team? You're surprised that Miami has big, strong men who might move you around a little bit? They were so surprised. It's like, all right, just because you're Notre Dame, you don't have a right to be the toughest team on the field. And now, I always knew you guys are slower than you thought. That's just part of Notre Dame's legacy. But they thought they'd be pretty good defensively, and they weren't. Of course, the Georgia-Tennessee game, another one that didn't play out the way Sean and I thought it would. Because Josh Heupel hadn't scored like more than 17 points against the Kirby Smart defense since he's been there. That was over by the first quarter. I was like, oh, okay, I read this one wrong. Georgia couldn't cover. They left guys open. They were falling down. Chris Brazell, the Tennessee wide receiver, made play after play. And he made plays late, too. Turns out Tennessee missing their top two corners mattered. As Gunnar Stockton, who had not proven to be a guy who could do what he did as far as throwing the football to win a game, did. He hit a... I think Landon Humphreys is the receiver's name. And then they got the two-point conversion as well. So that was a great game. And the kicker who missed it, anyone who saw his prep knew he was going to miss it. That Tennessee kicker did not look like he wanted any part of that moment. He made a kick in overtime, but then Georgia went down and scored a touchdown. But with the chance to win it, that kid was like, are you sure you want to leave this to me? Are you sure? Are you sure you want me to do this? And it played out that way on the field. So Tennessee, once again, loses to Georgia. They have taken leads against Georgia since Josh Heupel has been there. Never to the point of 21-7, but they've had leads before. They just haven't been able to sustain it. And once Georgia figured out that, hey, they can't really run the ball on us, we can play a little bit more coverage and not blow coverages, particularly after the end of the first quarter into the third, they got some stops. Then Tennessee turned it back on in the fourth. Their defense just didn't have enough to keep Georgia off the board. So, big weekend in college football. A lot of stuff going on. As far as AP poll and Justin, is that the name up there? Justin, I see you. We'll get to you here. But the AP poll right now, we have a little bit of changes as far as movement in the top five. Ohio State still won. They took care of business against Ohio, although that game was a little closer than people thought early. Penn State, no one's really paying attention to them because they've played no one. They're number two. LSU is three, and Miami's four, Georgia's five. They hop over Oregon. Oregon didn't really struggle with Northwestern. They didn't look great early, so that cost them a couple spots in the AP poll. And then you keep moving on. South Carolina, out of the poll. Vanderbilt up at 20. Clemson, out of the AP poll. Georgia Tech jumps up to 18. Texas Tech is in the poll. They were at 21. Now they're at 17. They had a big win. And then you look at it, Texas is at 8. They fell in the poll again. A&M jumps up to 10. So that's where we stand as far as the teams in town. I don't know that the Cougs received any votes when I look at it. Probably not ready for that yet. You keep winning games, that'll happen. If I look at them, no votes for the Cougs, but who cares? You're 1-0 in Big 12 play. All right, Justin, you know what? Hang on, man. I'll get to you when we come back. If you want to join him, the number is 713-780-3776. We got one more segment to go. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is Ron Insano with your market scoreboard report on ESPN 97.5.
After a mixed close on Friday in which the Nasdaq hit a new all-time high but the Dow and S&P pulled back, we have stocks up modestly across the board this morning as Wall Street is waiting on the Federal Reserve's decision on interest rates. It's widely expected the Fed will cut by at least a quarter point this Wednesday when they release not only their decision but also Jay Powell holds a news conference and they have a summary of projections of how the economy is likely to do going forward. This morning we have interest rates edging up just a little bit, the yield on the 10-year note 4.07%. We also have a lot of economic data out before the Fed meets. We have industrial production, housing starts, and retail sales all due out. Dollar is a little weaker this morning. Oil up 9 cents to $62.78 a barrel. Gold giving back $5.30 to $36.81 the ounce. Europe mostly higher. Asia mostly lower in overnight trade. While crypto is a little bit on the soft side so far this morning. But again, all eyes on the Fed with possibly a new member coming from the White House as early as this week.
Contact Tax Relief Helpers for details and restrictions.
Attention, anyone that owes money to the IRS. Every day, your unpaid tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. The longer you wait, the more you will end up paying. If you owe $10,000 or more, now is the time to settle your debt before the IRS takes aggressive action, like taking your wages or property. A special toll-free number has been established so you can stop penalty fees, avoid liens, levies, or other hostile measures by the IRS. Call Tax Relief Helpers right now.
I got behind on my taxes and owed $48,000. I called and they got my bill lowered to just $3,500.
I owed $87,000 in taxes and it was scary. I got the amount I owed down to just $3,500. I saved $83,500.
If you owe money to the IRS, don't wait another day. Your tax debt gets bigger and bigger from daily interest. Call right now before the IRS enforces liens, levies, or other aggressive measures. The call and consult are absolutely free. Call now.
Call 800-692-7009. 800-692-7009. That's 800-692-7009.
What we've been doing is pulling one of the people that sells a car every month and giving them a prize.
Give Me the VIN is giving away $25,000 in cash every month.
David Ling sold your car last
year. I sold a 2020 RX350?
Yeah.
Open that check up and tell me what it says.
$25,000.
$25,000. Give me that.
David Ling of Claremont, California is the latest winner in GiveMeTheVIN.com's big cash giveaway.
$25,000. What am I getting for being here?
No purchase necessary. For official rules, go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell us your car.
John Granato here with Robin Orlando from Houston Powder Coaters. Robin, you guys are expanding as well.
Yes, we are branching into San Antonio and Austin. So if you have a second house over there, we can come and pick up your items, bring them back to Houston Powder Coaters, and then deliver them back to your second home.
How about that? And your delivery?
It's free in the Houston area. It's going to be $125 for Austin and San Antonio.
That's not bad at all. Call Robin. You'll probably deal with Robin when you call Houston Powder Coaters. 281-676-3888 or HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
Follow ESPN Houston on social media at ESPN97.5. This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, we got a couple people who want to get on, so we'll get to you quickly before we wrap it up. Rich Eisen is up next. Let's get to Justin. What's up, Justin? Justin, you there?
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I first want to say I want to give Quinn Ewers an apology on the behalf of all Texas fans. And I'll tell you why. I don't know how much time I have, but I'll tell you why. Quinn Ewers was basically forced out of Texas, and he had an NIL deal to go to a different team. And due to his loyalty to Texas, he went in the fifth round to the NFL. And I think all that's coming back to haunt us now. And I just kind of wanted to get you guys' opinion on the situation in Austin right now with Arch Manning. And my personal opinion, I don't feel he's that generational talent that we were all expecting, let alone going to the NFL after this season. But I'll hang up and listen to what you guys have to say about that.
Yeah, appreciate it, Justin. The Quinn Ewers thing, I don't know if he wanted to return, but it felt like there was no chance for him to. Like, if he decided, you know what, I don't like the evaluations I'm getting from the NFL. I got a year left. I want to play with the team and maybe go win a national title, maybe improve my stock. I don't know if that – it appeared impossible because it was like, you know what, Art Stafford 2 years, he's got to play. He's got to play. It was Quinn, this is – we appreciate it, man, not necessarily from all Texas people, but from at least people inside the program. We appreciate it. You're a starter, clearly. Arch wasn't good enough to take your job, but you got to go. We got to get the Arch era started. And they were hyping Arch on their social media. Texas was, QB1, all that stuff before the year began. And right now, I mean, I'm not locked in on Texas football because they're playing teams they should handle no matter how bad Arch is. I don't know if you can trust pass a pass if he's going to complete it. There was a ball in the flat. He was just dumping it off to a running back. He overthrew him. Of course, he'll dirt multiple balls. From play to play, you kind of got to be holding your breath as far as where the ball is going to go. Look, your defense is so good against the teams you've played the last couple weeks. You're not going to get challenged. They're going to make enough plays, put you in enough advantageous spots where you're going to score. But as far as the drop back passing game, I don't know how you trust it. And whether you want to apologize to Quinn Ewers or wait for after the year, if you were in a group chat talking to your buddies about can't wait for Quinn to get out of here, now look at you. Now look at you. You won a lot of games and some big ones with Quinn Ewers. Can you trust that Archer's going to win you a big game? Like, Oklahoma's coming up, and laughing at Oklahoma is a thing we do on this show. But I ain't got to play him. Texas does. And the Texas guy, Sean, he'll be back tomorrow. I guess we'll ask him about Quinn Ewers tomorrow. But I don't know how you watch him play and go, that guy can beat that Oklahoma defense. And when Oklahoma has an actual quarterback in John Mateer, and then you got Brent Venables, as much as I want to make jokes about him playing as little kids for Clemson when he was the DC, he's still a good DC, still a good defensive play caller. You saw Arch against Matt Patricia. Okay, NFL play caller, former NFL play caller. Brent Venables ain't no slouch, and you want to match wits with Brent Venables when Arch can't throw a five-yard hitch accurately? Got some real problems. Hopefully you can figure it out before then, or on one of the bigger stages in college football. It's going to get ugly. Let's get to Space City Houston quickly before we go. What's up, Space City Houston? Lights too bright, kind of like Arch. Lights too bright. All right, man, we'll get you tomorrow, or lady, I don't know who it was. We'll get you tomorrow if you want to join us. Tomorrow we're back at 10. We'll have a Texans game to discuss, an Astros opener against the Rangers. Jason Alexander, our hero on the mound. So we'll see if he can get us back on track after the Fromm performance yesterday. All right, AJ, we're done for the day. So what does that mean? Pay tribute to Jason Alexander, our hero. Go get us a win. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.